Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Take Courage, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times. This new resource reminds discouraged Christians of the one thing right in the world, the person who alone has overcome the world. Find out more about Take Courage at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Take Courage by Pastor Matt Harrison, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
What's up, danger?
Miles! Wanna get out of here?
Oh! When? So wait a minute. There's an elite crew with all the best spider people in it?
Who's the new guy?
Danger. This is unbelievable.
This is the lobby.
Miguel O'Hara.
The whole thing was his idea.
What's a guy gotta do to join this spider team?
You can never be part of this.
Don't even get me started on Doctor Strange and the little nerd back on Earth 1999-99.
Come on, go easy on the kid. He had a terrible teacher.
Peter!
Miles!
Mayday!
You have a baby?
I have a baby.
I'll take it from here. Miles, being Spider-Man is a sacrifice. You have a choice between saving one person and saving every world.
Send me home.
I can't do that.
I can do both! Spider-Man always...
Not always.
What about Uncle Ben?
If not for Uncle Ben, most of us wouldn't be here.
Can't stop me now!
You can't run forever, kid!
I can't lose one more friend.
This isn't what we talked about!
You knew?
I had no idea what you're doing!
Everyone keeps telling me how my story is supposed to go. Nah, I'm gonna do my own thing.
All stations, stop Spider-Man!
That's the trailer for the movie Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. This is a film that is the second in a trilogy, another planned to follow. What story does it tell, and who is its audience? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Thursday afternoon, the 14th of June. Pastor Ted Geese will join us to review the movie Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Then Dr. Poppy Rossinen joins us. She's a newly reelected member of the Finnish Parliament. We'll get an update on a freedom of speech and religion battle involving Finnish Lutheran leaders. Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
So this is one of those multiverse movies, as I said, second in a trilogy. Who is its audience?
Well, I would say that the first film in this one was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse from 2018. That was probably more geared towards younger kids or kind of just before teenage kids. This one seems more geared towards teenagers. And you can see that when you actually watch the film. It is certainly kind of focused in, like the first film, if the main character, Miles Morales, was maybe awkwardly trying to like grow up. This one, he's now in that teenage phase of everything is like angst, and you can kind of see that in the film itself. And I know that this isn't really a scientific sampling, let's say, but when we went and saw the film and I was sitting in the theater, I was looking around and it was like, I'm the oldest person here, and 90% of the people who are here are all teenagers, which is kind of unusual. You don't often see that in the theater these days or recently, or at least maybe I'm not going to those movies. So I would say that this certainly is a film that's geared towards teenagers.
So we've mentioned here that it's second in a trilogy. What was the story established in the first, and how does this pick up on it?
This is like an animated thing. So it's a cutting edge kind of animation with lots of different stuff pulled into it that looks like it's right out of the page of a comic book up on the screen. It's from Sony, so it's got its own kind of flavor to it. It is a Marvel movie, but it's not made by Disney. It's made by Sony. So this film was kind of taking in this idea of this character of Miles Morales, who's this little African-American boy who gets bit by the radioactive spider. And what happens through the course of the first film is he starts to interact with other Spider-Men or Spider-Women. Also, there's the character of Gwen Stacy, who's another spider person played by Hailee Steinfeld, is also in this story. But he starts interacting with all of these other spider people from all of these different multiverses through the course of his first film. And they have to fight Kingpin, who's a Spider-Man villain, who's trying to bring from another one of the multiverses his wife and one of his kids, I think a son, back into his own so that they could be with him because of some tragic accident that happened that took them away from him. So you have that kind of storyline. They're trying to stop it because this whole back and forth between different multiverses is problematic and causes problems for the reality, etc., etc. So you kind of follow then, it's another one of these Spider-Man origin stories, watching this Miles become Spider-Man in a world that already had a Spider-Man, but that Spider-Man tragically died. So he's kind of like the replacement Spider-Man for the world that he lives in. And as the full film kind of progresses, he becomes the Spider-Man that he's supposed to be. And by the end of it, they've sorted everything out. Everybody goes off to their own Spider-Verses, whatever, their own worlds. And that's kind of it. And he's now the Spider-Man for his little world. What happens with this one is it opens up and he's kind of doing his Spider-Man thing. But slowly and surely, stuff starts happening where people, these other Spider-Men, start coming back into his world because there's something going on that needs to be sorted out. And it takes a while for you to figure out what exactly the problem is or what's going on. It really is a film in three parts, like three acts. And the first act is more of a family drama with Miles Morales and his parents. He's kind of finishing high school and he's about to go to college. But the question is, where is he going to go to college? What is he going to be studying? How is that going to work? So he's got this kind of relationship with his folks that he's kind of dealing with. And then the center part of the film is all just the Spider-Verse, kind of like all of these multiple Spider-Men together. And then the third act gets into kind of where it's all going, I guess, potentially for where it's moving into that third film that's going to come out next spring.
So is it an unfair comparison to say it's kind of a kids and Marvel superhero version of Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Well, Everything Everywhere All at Once is, I felt it was kind of nihilistic and maybe kind of smug. I know a lot of people really enjoyed that movie, but I just think it's full of itself. This has got maybe a bit of a better heart and soul in terms of like a film or a film series. But yeah, this idea that you've got all of these multiverses all colliding with each other and you've got to do things to kind of sort all of this out. What he discovers is that when he goes into this one place that's got all of these different Spider-Men, there's like an elite team that goes from Spider-Verse to Spider-Verse seeking out anomalies, because anomalies are problematic and they're going to cause degradation of reality, etc. So like sometimes there are villains that pop in where they shouldn't be, or sometimes there are a Spider-Man who is somewhere that he shouldn't be. And listen, there's going to be some spoilers. So if you've seen this, it's great. It's been out for a couple weeks. If you haven't seen it and you really want to see it, I'm going to spoil something for you because it takes a long time for it to get to this point. But dear listener, what happens is that Miles Morales' Spider-Man is an anomaly himself. And in this film, all of the Spider-Men turn against him to try to, like, stop him. And then he has to defend himself. And also, it gets into this whole kind of question of identity, which is a big part of it. You know, I mentioned the angsty kind of teenage stuff. It's like, well, I'm not supposed to be Spider-Man, but I am Spider-Man. So what does this mean for me? And what does it mean for the Spider-Verse, etc., and everything else? Like, there's this character of Miguel O'Hare, voiced by Oscar Isaac, who kind of starts out as kind of a hard-boiled, like, leader of all the Spider-Men, but he kind of becomes one of the central villains as the film unfolds.
So you say it has a lot of family themes in it, or themes that are surprisingly sometimes positive toward the family. What do you mean?
Well, I think that in the case of this is that, you know, like that first third of the film I mentioned has the family stuff in it. The interesting thing here is that, like, and we talked about how this is a teen, like it's set for teenagers. So he actually is more like an actual teenager. Shamail Moore, who plays the, does the voice for Miles Morales, does a good job. And he's really like a teenager character. And he has a real kind of teenager relationship with his parents. He thinks that he's able to do more than he can. And then that's only exasperated by the fact that he's Spider-Man. But he has this secret that he's Spider-Man because his parents don't know. And his dad is a police officer. And so then there's that kind of relationship between the police and Spider-Man that they play off of in the first film and then again in this film. So that relationship, though, I think, like sometimes you'll watch shows like this or TV shows where the parents don't really act like parents and the teenage kids don't really act like teenage kids. It's almost like there's this weird role reversal or where the parents are kind of buffoon characters and they're not very smart. His parents will ground him. His parents are acting like responsible adults when it comes to their kids and like their son, and they want the best for him, and they don't see eye to eye on what that best thing is. So I think that in the course of the film, you get kind of fleshed out parents and kid kind of relationship when it comes to Miles Morales and his parents, which is really good. You don't see that done as well as it is in this film that often lately. So that's one of the positive elements of this film.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest on this Thursday, June the 15th. We are reviewing the movie Spider-Man Across the Universe. We'll get to some Christian symbolism next.
Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. Like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. Edgruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at Edgruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Spider-Man Across the Universe. So, Ted, talk about some of the Christian symbolism that finds its way into this film.
I'd say probably the one, like, oftentimes when you watch movies like this, the idea of a hero that has to, like, be raised up to save people kind of thing. For me, that Christian symbolism is best rooted in the Book of Judges. You know, you have an unlikely hero that's pulled up and then is able to, like, go against the villains that are oppressing everybody, etc. So that would be one of the real Christian symbols you would find in it. If you want to look for the Christian symbolism, you might want to look somewhere like that. The only thing with these multiverse films, and even more so with a film like this and the previous one, is that it's almost like you would have, instead of having one Samson, you have, like, suddenly a story with, like, 80 different Samsons, all with different opinions about how things should go, or slightly quirkily different from each other. And this whole multiverse thing is thoroughly not rooted in scripture. So for listeners who missed it along the way, Issues Etc. has a wonderful interview on physics and the multiverse theory with Dr. Paul Edman from Harvard University. And I would recommend that to anybody if you're interested in that whole, what the heck is the multiverse? Why are all these movies with multiverse ideas in them coming out constantly right now? And then that gives you a little bit of a hold on the reality of what people are thinking about this idea. But in the course of an actual film like this, you know, as a Christian looking at it, you're kind of thinking to yourself, okay, so where does my faith fit into all of this? And the reality is that Christ came once to die for all sinners, everybody, and that the way scripture lays this out, it's not like that happened in multiple universes all simultaneously all over the place all at once. This is not what we find in scripture. So this is kind of another set of ideas that's coming from somewhere else. So this is harder to read Christian symbolism into it, except of course you have characters that want to lay down their life for others, who are willing to make that sacrifice in the place of somebody else. So that is a kind of another Christian element that you could see in this film.
How would you describe its worldview? I mean, if you can, given the fact that it's premised on the fact that there are many worlds.
Yeah, well, it throws everything in the kitchen sink at it. At one point, somebody shared with me, you know, like a screenshot that said something about Save Trans Kids and something like that. Honestly, I watched the film. I was kind of watching to see when that might pop up. And if it popped up, which I'm sure it did, it went by so fast that it was hard to catch. And this is the thing. Everything comes hard and fast at the viewer while watching this film. This is written by this Phil Lords and Christopher Miller. They themselves have been involved in a lot of different projects over the years, ranging from writing on shows like How I Met Your Mother or Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs or The Lego Movie. Lots of stuff that people will have. Clone High, which is a TV show, like a cartoon from in the early 2000s. They're kind of on the cutting edge of a lot of this sort of fast-paced storylines that weave in all sorts of various kind of postmodern kind of ideas, right? So I it's hard to pin it exactly 100% down where this all fits. But one thing that I did notice while I was watching this that I thought was kind of interesting is that the character of Spider-Man, so, you know, he's not just his own individual because there's all of these different Spider-Men. So you have kind of individuality pitted against conformity as one of the kind of themes that runs through the film. And it turns out that the leader of the conformity crowd of Spider-Men wants to get rid of this one individual Spider-Man who, quote unquote, shouldn't be Spider-Man because he's an anomaly. So in a way, this whole kind of notion of you have to march lockstep with the crowd when the crowd all has this one idea, that's kind of being sended up in this, or it's being criticized in this, which is somewhat interesting in terms of basically the direction that modern society has been marching along in. So that's kind of an interesting portion of the worldview in it. But again, like I was saying, that the whole multiverse thing, it's not really a Christian worldview, let's say. It's all very imaginative, but I wouldn't root it in a Christian worldview, that's for sure.
On a more general question, why does Marvel continue to, besides changing actors, and this, of course, is the animated, make multiple origin stories? I seem to remember that they went through a kind of a fit of making Incredible Hulk origin stories every time they found a new actor to play the Incredible Hulk.
I think they're hopeful. You know, you do the origin story and then you're hoping that you're going to have this actor for a while to stick with it, kind of a thing. But I guess every actor gets a crack at his own origin story when it comes to these characters in some ways. A friend of mine completely tapped out. He's like, you know what? I don't need to see another Spider-Man origin story. And again, this last film was a Spider-Man origin story. And this is the continuation of that as well for this Miles Morales character. So he's basically the Peter Parker of his world. And there are Peter Parkers amongst all of the Spider-Men, along with Gwen Stacy and all of the rest of these, even like this little pig Spider-Man character. And one of the Spider-Man characters, and it was really missing actually in this one, is the Spider-Man Noir, who is voiced by Nicolas Cage. And I think he'll be coming back in the next one. But he really added a lot to the original, the first film in this series. And I don't know why they keep doing it. I think that we're at the point where we can just probably dive in right from the start with a Spider-Man movie without building all of this stuff up. I guess recently, the Spider-Man No Way Home movie, which is another multiverse Spider-Man film, that kind of benefited from the fact that there were three different Spider-Man actors that played Spider-Man in three different iterations of Spider-Man. It benefited from that. And I guess this series benefits from it as well, because it's, you can't really have all of these Spider-Man without all of them having an origin story of their own.
Is there something cynical about this to say, we're not just going to make a Spider-Man movie, we're going to throw as many different Spider-Men and Spider-Pigs at the audience as we can, hoping something sticks to the wall?
Well, I mean, sure. I mean, it works. I mean, the things that really stand out are going to probably get pushed forward. I mean, they even reference back to the 1966 very, very early comic book animated TV series gets thrown in there too, right? And even some live action stuff gets pulled into this big animated film. So yeah, I mean, they're really running everything up the flagpole to see who salutes.
What would you say are some of your pastoral concerns?
Well, I mean, though, I guess I kind of mentioned that, you know, like there's a lot of stuff getting thrown in here, and, you know, you might have to watch it more than once to kind of absorb everything that's going on. And maybe there's some things that kind of fly under the radar. So people should be paying attention when they watch this film series, particularly. One thing I think in terms of a pastoral concern, though, is not to miss the fact that this film, one of the very central things in the film is dealing with the idea of lying and the repercussions of having a secret that you're lying about to people that you love, to people who are close to you, in Miles's case, between him and his parents, but also then in the case of the other people around him and him. So a lot of this film is about reputation. So it fits squarely in the Eighth Commandment. So I would say, you know, this is an opportunity. And it's kind of interesting that this is set or is made for teenagers. So this is a good opportunity that if you have teenagers in your family who see this film, or you know teenagers who are seeing this film, it's a great opportunity to dig into the Eighth Commandment about bearing false witness and the effects that has on everyone. So this is a great chance to, it's kind of like T-ball. This film is just setting that up, so you may as well take a swing at it. And I wouldn't want people to miss that opportunity watching this film.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Spider-Man Across the Universe. Pastor Geese teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, Take Courage, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times. This new resource reminds discouraged Christians of the one thing right in the world, the person who alone has overcome the world. Find out more about Take Courage at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Take Courage by Pastor Matt Harrison, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further into our adventure in the Acts of the Apostles with Ananias and Sapphira, signs and wonders, apostles arrested and freed, we must obey God, and Gamaliel's counsel. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
After the Making the Case conference, join the Concordia Catechetical Academy at Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, for our annual symposium on catechesis, Christ and the Law, Catechesis on the Ten Commandments, with Dr. Aaron Moldenauer, Pastor Rick Stuckwish, Pastor Burnell Eckhart, Pastor Carl Fabritius, Pastor Rolf Preuss, and myself, Peter Bender, June 21st through the 23rd. Learn more at peacesussex.org. Peace. SUSSEX.org.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At the center of our campus is Kramer Chapel, and there's a reason for that.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Arthur Just.
Because it is the heartbeat of Concordia Theological Seminary. It is where we go to hear the voice of Jesus and frequently be fed with the body and blood of Christ. We sometimes call it our Jerusalem. Kramer Chapel points to the classroom, which we sometimes call Athens. It is there that we do theology, biblical studies, systematic theology, practical theology, history. We love theology here, and we love the study of it, and we love coming together in worship. It's one of the things that gives us great joy. Joy in worshiping, joy in studying theology. Concordia Theological Seminary is all about the joy of being in Jesus.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. In a few minutes, Dr. Pavi Rassinen, a member of the Finnish Parliament, will join us to talk about an update on a freedom of speech and religion battle involving Finnish Lutheran leaders. Ted, you have a couple concerns here and some thoughts. First about how the story is structured and then some criticisms.
Here's a general criticism of the film, and then I'll get to the structure part. The film is too long. It's a half hour too long. So this is 140 minutes. It doesn't need to be 140 minutes. It could certainly be shorter. This is kind of one of those things where it's not that what you're being served isn't somehow inferior. It's like getting, if you really enjoyed spaghetti, it's like getting just a huge, massive amount of spaghetti. There's kind of too much spaghetti here. And they could totally just cut it back to a more reasonable amount. So I think that the middle of the film, while kind of really fun, full of like piles of Easter eggs, etc., kind of gets a little bloated. I think it could be shorter. Also, the introduction to the film probably could be a little shorter too. They do have to kind of retread some things at the beginning. So in terms of structure, to flesh that part out a little bit, the first film was kind of episodic too, but it followed a pretty clear trajectory and you kind of knew where it was going along the way fairly consistently. What this film has is this kind of episodic quality to it that almost feels like it should be like a little mini series of six episodes that you could watch on a streaming platform more than a cinematic, complete, film. Now, I said that there's a beginning, middle, and an end, and there is. So you have the three-part structure, but within those three-part structures, especially in the middle, it gets really muddy. There's a lot going on. They introduce a lot of things, and probably the whole thing could have been presented in a bit of a different way. Or it seems maybe it's kind of schizophrenic. On the one hand, it's trying to cram like a miniseries worth of stuff into a single film. It was harder to watch this film than the first one, and I previously rewatched the first one in anticipation of going to see it. So I have fresh memory of that first film. And the first film is A, more charming, and B, better laid out than this film. It's a little indulgent. It kind of puts a little bit too much into it, and it could have been pared down a bit to make it a clearer storyline. And also, if they could have like laid some more breadcrumbs along the way to help you get where you're going by the end of the film, that would have been helpful as well.
Any other critiques?
Those are, I think, the major critiques that I have. I mean, there's lots of stuff to appreciate, just like the sheer amount of different styles of animation that you get all over the place in the film. Each of the Spider-Verses has its own kind of look to it. So for anybody who loves graphic design or who loves comic book art or pop art in general, there's a lot to love just in terms of how it looks. It also manages to make things feel very concrete, and you have like the sense of motion that's well done that is actually hard to do. So if you grew up watching, let's say, the Disney Renaissance of Disney films like animation, the hand-drawn stuff, or earlier stuff than that, this is very advanced animation, and I think that that's pretty exciting to see. But just in terms of how it's all laid out, I think it could have been done in a more clean and clear way.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. You'll find a link to his movie reviews at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Dr. Pavi Rossinen joins us on the other side of the break. She's going to bring us an update on a freedom of speech and religion battle involving Finnish Lutheran leaders. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Register today. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through the 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport in Erlanger, Kentucky. The conference includes visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Online registration is open now with early bird pricing at lutheransforlife.org/conference. Lutherans for Life, equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. lutheransforlife.org.
We preach Christ crucified. That's the theme of the 68th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that's gathering this summer in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Christ crucified is the sum and content, the substance of everything we preach and proclaim. At convention, delegates will gather to worship, hear God's word, and discuss the business of synod. To learn more about the upcoming convention, pick up a copy of the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe or witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press award-winning Latin programs have successfully taught hundreds of thousands of students across the world. Their easy-to-use, step-by-step Latin curriculum provides students with an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and strong critical thinking skills. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.